Hi, everyone. Thank you for being with us for America Trends for this hour. I'm Amy Fuller, your host. Glad to have you along. Also coming along, we are talking to our friend of the show, Joseph Travers of Saved in America. He leads, and he is one of these Navy SEALs types that goes around and rescues missing or abducted children. Sunday was National Missing Persons Day, and there are probably very few bigger heartbreaks than having someone missing in your life. We're going to talk about how he does it and the good that he and his team are doing. And Valentine's ideas. Chocolatier to the stars, Marianne Hess will be back with us to talk about some wonderful options. And, you know, she's famous for doing the Oscar gifting suites. Chocolates for the White House and much more. I don't even know why chocolate is attached to Valentine's Day. Maybe because it's just wonderful, but Marianne will fill us in. And Undersecretary to President George W. Bush, Bart Marcoise, will be with us to have a little look ahead at the State of the Union address coming up Tuesday and some other political headlines of the day. You can always find his articles on opslens.com. And trending in the news, Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam met with his cabinet today and apparently is considering resigning. This after days of controversy over a racist photo in his medical school yearbook and comments supporting very late-term abortion. All 140 members of the Virginia General Assembly returned to Richmond for the legislative session amid all this sort of turmoil. All this distraction, he did give a really awkward press conference Saturday saying he wouldn't resign, but we'll see what happens now. This woman, who got a lot of the spotlight last week because she introduced that really severe pro-abortion bill, abortion allowed up until the last second is what they're trying to introduce. She has reportedly turned on Governor Northam. And now, also in Virginia, their lieutenant governor is accused of sexual assault. So that's starting to trend now, too. Just a lot going on in Virginia. It allegedly happened during the Democratic National Convention in 2004. The lieutenant governor is denying anything happened. Investigation continues into a really terrible plane crash in Yorba Linda, California, Sunday. It was during a Super Bowl party. Take a look at this. Hit a house. You can hear a little bit of the sound there. Residents having a Super Bowl party killed the pilot and four others on the ground. The Cessna slammed into the two-story home about 10 minutes into its flight from Fullerton Airport near L.A. Radar showed that the plane began falling like a rock at about 8,000 feet. Debris spanned for four blocks. And again, investigation continuing. They're just not really sure, but just a terrible day in Yorba Linda Sunday. President Trump sat down for an interview with CBS Face the Nation and Margaret Brennan, airing Sunday before the Super Bowl, in a tradition where the press does sit down, or the president does sit down with a journalist from the network that airs the game. He touched on the Super Bowl, his intelligence officers, and what might happen in just a few days if he does not get that support in building that wall.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens on February 15th.
And you're not taking it off
I think,
the table.
Well, I don't take anything off the table. I don't like to take things off the table. It's that alternative. It's national emergency. It's other things. And, you know, there have been plenty national emergencies called. And this really is an invasion of our country by human traffickers. These are people that are horrible people, bringing in women mostly, but bringing in women and children into our country, human trafficking. And we're going to have a strong border. And the only way you have a strong border is you need a physical barrier, you need a wall. And anybody that says you don't, they're just playing games.
You had quite the showdown with Speaker Pelosi. What did you learn about negotiating with her?
Well, I think that she was very rigid, which I would expect, but I think she is very bad for our country. She knows that you need a barrier. She knows that we need border security. She wanted to win a political point. I happen to think it's very bad politics because basically she wants open borders. She doesn't mind human trafficking, or she wouldn't do this because, you know,
she offered you over $1 billion for border security.
Excuse me?
She offered over $1 billion for border security.
She doesn't.
At
first we thought, okay, maybe she's out of friends, and so that first night you're calling all these friends of hers. But then by the next day, you have that dreaded fear that, you know, something bad might have happened. And that's when you just, you know, start to get frantic trying to figure out what, you know, what to do. There's no one there to help you, really. You're on your own. And I felt at times it was just my husband and I were completely alone.
Mostly the parents are in a panic stage and they're waiting for something to happen. So now the family is at a standstill. They have to go find their child on their own.
You just try to, in your head, figure out, you know, what can I do here?
Yeah, I thought that was amazing.
You know what? Sunday was National Missing Persons Day, and as I said earlier, you can't imagine the heartache of having a missing person in your life, especially a child that you're supposed to be taking care of, or anyone in your family, really. Every year in America, hundreds of thousands of just kids alone go missing. And we've told you before about a group called Saved in America that began just a few years back in Southern California. They are rapidly expanding. And we've got some new affiliates on the U2 America network, and we're now on Biz Talk Radio. Welcome to all of you in 175 countries. So would love to reintroduce Joseph Travers of Saved in America on with us for a couple segments this hour. And look at this, Joseph, since December 2014, when you guys just really launched, 152 children saved in America.
Correct, yes.
It's pretty good. When I talked to you just back in the fall, it was 102. So you guys are working really hard. It's growing in frequency.
Yes,
what you're
and,
able to
and
do.
It really helped. We had our last fundraiser in La Jolla. We talked about November 1st, which you were at.
You raised some great money.
We raised $165,000, and of course, the cost per child, you know, for expenses and for equipment is about $6,000. So you can just do the math.
Per child?
$6,000?
$6,000. So before we talk a little bit about your mobile command center, which will allow you guys to go a lot of places, including every year the Super Bowl, huge destination for human and sex trafficking. And that'll allow so much too. But tell our audience about what you do. You and, you know, some Navy SEAL, detective, law enforcement types get together, and you go save a child if they are taken or missing at no cost to the family.
Correct. Right. What we do is we for free will help any parent anywhere in the country find their missing child. And we're all volunteers. We don't get paid, and we don't want to get paid. All the money, all the proceeds we get go towards the mission, which is expenses and equipment to find the children.
I always love, you always say it's a heart issue when we allow people to come help us do this. What kind of people do you have on your team?
Well, it's all former police detectives and Navy SEALs, although we do have some other special operators from... Oh, we have a Marine Raider and a member of the Australian SAS.
Oh, wow. They must just find out about you and say, boy, this is a chance to do something really, really good.
That's actually true. And what we do is we screen everybody. I mean, you can imagine the screening process we have.
Yeah.
And right now our personnel level is 38, which includes a staff attorney and also some social networking investigators.
So you got inspired to do this back, was it 2009?
Yes.
And then you took a few years to really get everything together. You really did your due diligence. I always love that part of the story. And then launched in 2014. And I know there's a very special girl, Brittany Drexel, that you sort of do this in her honor. And her mom got to fly here and speak at your big event November 1st in Southern California. So can you just share a little bit about Brittany and what happened to her?
Yes, Brittany Drexel was a young girl, just turned 17, and she left, ran away, her mother didn't know, to South Carolina for a spring break. And then she just disappeared. And I thought, I read this article, what happened to Brittany? You know, knowing, working.
Now, what are you doing in your life at this point? You hadn't started any of this. What were you doing? Were you doing law enforcement work and just this prompted you that I have to start something that can be free for the family?
I was doing... other missions, you know, doing thing. I had a homeless ministry, and I had just stopped that, actually. And I'm looking, okay, where do I go now?
Yeah, because, see, I knew, I saw that you have a lot of ministries, a lot of other things you do. So you really have a heart for helping people. But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, that's
your story,
okay. In addition, we have a ministry at Camp Pendleton, which we still do.
So. Oh, the ground zero for the Marines, the United
Correct.
States Marines.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so we saw this about Brittany, and I thought, you know, I hope she didn't, you know, get preyed upon by this evil triad that formed with gang members, prison gangs, and cartel.
Oh, you always talk about this evil triad, and you don't hear much about that in the mainstream media. But you, having been in law enforcement for so long and doing what you do now, you know there is an evil triad. Can you spend a second on that, too?
Yes, this triad took over the drug trafficking industry in our country back in the early 1990s into the turn of the century. And then the same triad decided they're going to take over child sex trafficking, specifically in prostitution. And so that's where all this is coming from. So it's almost today, if you show me a gang member, you show me a drug trafficker, and you show me a pimp. They're all one and the same.
It just breaks your heart because it's follow the money. It's a huge business. And there's a reason it's a huge business. Someone's partaking in this. And we just, it must just break your heart when you see how sick society can be. But it must lift it when you see, you know, what this, the, you and the people around you are doing to lift it up.
Well, we try and to turn this all, as we talked about last time I was with you, turn things to good. And for example, with Brittany, going back to Brittany, mm-hmm. we found out, about a year ago that the FBI found out that Brittany was taken by gang members, and she was repeatedly raped, beat, shot, and then fed to alligators.
You can't make up something much more horrific.
No. And so what we did, because we want Brittany's name not to be known by what happened to her. We want it to live in a different way. So that's when we had Brittany's mom over for our last fundraiser, and she was able to present the first Brittany Drexel Scholarship Award to a survivor of sex trafficking here locally in San Diego.
And Brittany was the genesis of it all. So you did take what the enemy wanted for evil and turn it to some good. We're going to talk more with Saved in America's Joseph Travers, founder and an investigator and all-around good guy, when we come right back. Put some spotlight. Children are some of the most vulnerable people when it comes to sex trafficking. And I understand sex trafficking is 10 times worse than it was 10 years ago. Just the exponential growth of it. We're here with Joseph Travers, the founder of Saved in America. Just a great organization that comes together, licensed detectives, law enforcement, Marines, Navy SEALs, just the kind of superheroes you want in your midst. And he gets them together and they go save children. And you do it right away in the critical hours before they can really go off the grid quickly, right?
Yes. And our goal, our mission is, and we've been true to that mission, which is to find the child before the trafficker does. Mm-hmm. And we've done that successfully 60% of the time.
And it works in so many. We talked in the past about how it used to be a kid on the corner would get grabbed. That's what you saw on TV. And now it's all about computers and grooming. Is
yes.
that right?
Through the cyber network, through all these different, not just Facebook, but, you know, you go into Snapchat and Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. And there's so many of them now. And that's how these people or these gang members, the recruiters, which, by the way, are in every middle school and high school, public middle school, public high school in San Diego County. They recruit the girls through this mechanism so the parents don't know that they're recruiting their child.
So you know, because you're based in San Diego, every high school and middle school there, which probably says a lot about what's going on all over the country. If you think your kid's not vulnerable, you should think again.
Absolutely. And what they do is they prey on the young girl who something might be going on in their life, you know, traumatic. And what doesn't happen traumatic
in
a
teen, right?
13, 14,
yeah,
or 15-year-old?
It's all traumatic.
Correct.
Huh. So Is there anything you can tell our audience? I'm sure every situation's different, but what do you look for? Are there any warning signs or flags that my kid might take off with someone who's online pretending to be someone wonderful who's flattering them?
Sometimes you can't. And we've had cases where maybe the parent might have been able to, but most of the time they really don't, because what happens is their child's missing. And they go maybe, and the child's knock on the bedroom door, come on, it's time to go to school, and no one's there, the window's open. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is their child has been, like I said, recruited through social networking on a site that the parent doesn't even know about. One good preventive measure might be to get an application that you could put on your child's cell phone, so you'll know where they go mm-hmm. in cyberspace. Mm-hmm. So that's a good prevention to know that.
A really good step to take. Everyone's busy, but you've got to take that preventative measure, because when they go, you just don't know where they went. And not everyone knows about you yet. How does it work? A child goes missing, and then they get on your website and say, I need to contact you. Who can I talk to? What do I do now? Because I can't imagine what's going on, how rattled someone must be when their kid just disappears. And probably at first you don't know, did they really disappear? What's really going on here? Because probably a lot of denial.
Correct. Or they don't know why. That's the big thing. Why? I don't, you know, you ask why. And the parent righteously might not even know why. But what we do is we wait for a call from a parent, or maybe a friend of a parent or a brother, sister, or some relation or friend that knows this child's missing, and they reach out to us, and then we reach out to the parent. Sometimes, though, we go on the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, because we also look for children that are wards of the state and the county, because they have no parents. So we look for them also through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, because those are the ones that are preyed upon the most, your children that don't have parents.
Yeah.
So we decided, you know, we're going to go and find those children also.
That's a huge undertaking. It's almost another segment for another show, because I know people who have groups that they've gotten together, and they've said there are so many people whose children are being taken away wrongly and being stolen through foster care. Mm-hmm. And they're saying this is really happening, and it blows your mind. That can't be happening. So it's amazing that you're being proactive that way and going to look for the most vulnerable, because like you said, who else is going to look?
Yes, and these foster children, by the way, this weekend we're doing a major operation in San Diego County. We're looking for a guy that we rescued, a 14-year-old from Mexico, and the bad guy is now released, and he's wanted on a $1 million bond, so we're going to help the police detectives look for him, but also five foster children between 14 and 16. We're going to do a big operation to try to recover these five girls.
That's so amazing. Gosh. So what you're going to be chasing a bad guy and finding these five kids along with everyone else that you've got reports on that you're trying to help. How much can you tell us without giving stuff away about how it all works?
Okay, it's not that difficult. And it's in the book, by the way. If you go on the website, you could buy the book about Saved in America, and it tells
Wait,
you this.
I didn't know there was a book. This is a new thing.
Yeah, the second edition came out. Second edition.
Oh, my gosh. So on your website, you can buy a book. It's
yes.
called Saved in America?
It's called Investigation of Missing and Exploited
okay.
Children.
And is it savedinamerica.org?
Savedinamerica.org.
.org. Okay. So everyone go there. Okay. So sorry, you've got this big op and you're so excited about your book. You got to bring that in and we'll...
Yes.
So you've got... And then these five kids you're going to run around and look for.
Correct. And what we do is we start out, we do everything we need to do with the parent. And then right away we start, what are we going to do with the child when we find the child? Because we've never not found a child we went after, by the way.
You've never not found
never,
a child
never.
You've gone after.
We have 100% success rate.
And that's
so,
152
recoveries since 2014. December 2014.
Did your heart just soar?
Well, I know I can't do that. Joseph Travers could never do that. I mean, God's looking out for us
sure.
and for the children, obviously.
It's a huge ministry you've done for him.
So what we do is then we start with the social networking investigation.
Uh-huh.
And we start to, you know, peel apart the onion and what happened, who was there, whose hands are in this pie, right? Going all the way back to this recruiter that mm-hmm. was involved. Once we get that, then it's just a matter of putting the pieces back together until we you know, then we start doing our private investigation work, our boots on the ground, right? We get eyes on, and then we bring in local law enforcement or state or federal law enforcement, and they extract the child and take the bad guy, our guys, into custody.
It's pretty amazing, pretty neat. And if you go to savedinamerica.org, a lot of videos showing the good they do and how they've helped, and it's just nice to keep up with them. About a minute and a half, but I want to ask, I know you've got this new mobile command center you're going to have where you can go anywhere, including places like, we just had the Super Bowl Sunday. It's a huge destination for sex traffickers every single year, and it's just now getting some attention in recent years. You're going to be able to help that.
Yes, hopefully next year we'll be there, and we'll be able to help with that whole thing. Thank you, San Diego County Board of Supervisors, for the grant to let us purchase this sophisticated electronic equipment in the mobile command center, which we need. It'll help us recover kids probably twice as fast once we get that on the ground.
That's going to be so great for you. That's nice, but you guys work all over the country. Joseph Travers from Saved in America. How can we all help and support you? Can we go to the website and just hit a donate button?
Yes. Yes, go there. And there's also a volunteer section. So there's a lot of new things happening on the website, a really good website. I suggest everyone get a copy of the book. It has the methods on, not too precise so the bad guys can't figure out what we do, but it does talk about how we do what we do.
I can't thank you enough for all you're doing. Saved in America, Joseph Travers, will you keep us updated?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sounds good. We'll see you next time. Okay.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you.
Always neat to have Joseph Travers of Saved in America in. Please go to their website, savedinamerica.org. It's really neat to see what they are doing. These guys right here are superheroes. These are the people that we should be lauding and giving our prayers to, because they're going out and finding children free of charge who are missing and critically missing. And wanted to mention one thing, that they have an annual fund, their first annual Las Vegas fundraiser coming up. They're going to Vegas. And I know we've got affiliates there here on the U2 America TV network. And it's going to be April 24th on Wednesday. And they're going to have a big fundraiser. You can come see what it's all about. And they're going to be doing ops with the sheriff's office there and looking for kids who are missing in Nevada and doing some teaching there on their methods. So Saved in America is doing great things. Also excited tonight to talk about some of the politics of the day with our very good friend of the show, Mr. Bart Marcoise. You can find his articles on opslens.com all the time. He was Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Energy for International Affairs under the Bush administration, career Foreign Service Officer with the State Department. And so nice to see you today, Bart.
Thank you. Thanks, Amy. It's nice to be back.
Oh, gosh. There's so much. You always try to just figure out what should we talk about politics today. And the trending thing still is the Virginia governor, Northam, and his big press conference and the picture. And did you get to see some of that very awkward press conference he held Saturday when a lot of people thought he would resign because of what he said about pro-abortion, and then the blackface KKK picture found in his medical school yearbook on his page?
Yeah, it really was shocking. I fully expected him to resign. And I thought, okay, he's fine. He's doing the honorable thing. He's resigning and making way for Justin Fairfax, a young African-American former prosecutor, lieutenant governor, who would be a great governor.
Well, except he's got his own problems now. He's being accused of sexual assault from back in 2004. So poor Virginia right now. They got a lot going on.
Oh, yes. You know, I forgot about that. I saw that this morning and I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, that's just
you're right.
Well, there's so much going on there. It just popped up and I'm like, oh, gosh, they're probably going to have press conferences just around the clock to keep everybody updated. But the one that we talked about on Saturday, he just kept talking. And he was like, well, I didn't do blackface. The picture, I thought it was me, so I apologize. But now I think I've studied it, neither is me, like you'd remember or not. But I did dress up in blackface once for a dance competition where I pretended to be Michael Jackson. And it just, he kept trying to explain away like people were going to like him.
Yeah, and somebody asked him to moonwalk, and he was about to do it until his wife stopped him. And I was so disappointed. I wanted to see that moment. That would have been better than the Howard Dean scream.
I did not see that part. I did see, I don't know if it was his wife or handler, but someone kept trying to say in this little voice to the reporters, okay, that's all we have time for. And he ignored that person and just kept taking questions as if he were going to get out of this somehow. And it just sort of made it worse. He just felt like if he had a handler, they're saying, stop talking.
Oh, the hubris is unbelievable. And, you know, interestingly, I heard this morning a comment from the editor of Big League Politics who said, I did not get this picture. It was not given to me by anybody political. It was given to me by a concerned citizen who was upset at the comments Northam made about infanticide a week and a half ago. And I think that what happened is one of his medical school colleagues heard him making those absolutely outrageous statement. And I'm glad you mentioned that at the beginning, because I don't want people to lose sight of this. This is not just about blackface, about a prank, about something 35 years ago. You know, it's not funny to African Americans. It's not funny to anybody who cares about the healing and healing the divisiveness of our society. But what's even worse is the idea that he promulgated that yes, he's perfectly comfortable with killing an infant at the moment of birth, and even about letting an infant die, leaving it on an examining table and letting it die slowly after it was born. And that's just shocking. And he's making public policy. And one of his fellow doctors, I think, saw that and said, okay, I need to publish this picture from the yearbook because it's time to get him out of there. And that's what really gave rise to this.
Yes, you're right. It wasn't political. It was someone from med school. And you know, Kellyanne Conway spoke on behalf of President Trump this morning, and she said, not in the United States of America, we don't. And I've just been dying for days for someone to say that. How did we come to even talking about the possibility of a bill allowing infanticide? What is going on?
It is. It's shocking. And this is the triumph of the left. They feel untrammeled. They feel unleashed. And there's nothing holding them back anymore. And they think they smell blood in the water. And so they're finally revealing who they really are. And this person from med school wanted to say, you want to know who Ralph Northam really is? Look at this. And Northam's two apologies, one right after the other on the same day, on Friday afternoon and Friday night. And then his press conference on Saturday saying, I know I apologized for that twice yesterday, but I'm not really certain it was me. I don't believe that was me. Come on. There are pictures of him in those same plaid pants, or maybe it's actually somebody corrected me on Twitter today, said that the plaid pants are actually on his friend from high school, not him. But they're the same plaid pants and he's in the picture. So he borrowed them from his friend to pose in the blackface. Either that or he's the guy under the KKK hood.
Right.
Either way, he is. I mean, this is a dirtbag thing to do, even in 1984. I was in college in 1984. I was at grad school age, and I would never have done that, and neither would any of my friends. Nobody would have done that, but he did. He did, and it looks like he did it on more than one occasion.
Oh.
And it wasn't funny then, and it's certainly not funny now.
We're short on time, Bart, but it bears mentioning that people are starting to find out after his comments last week about late-term abortion that this guy, this governor of Virginia, is a pediatrician. He's a doctor who committed to do no harm.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. For him to say, let it die, you can't help but ask, how many times has he done that?
I want to mention that, the State of the Union is Tuesday night. Any thoughts ahead of what President Trump might say? You think he'll do an executive order to have a national emergency and we're going to build the wall?
I think that he will let the deadline, I think he'll take it right up to the deadline, give the Democrats one last chance to do the right thing and protect our border security. I think that he will make a very strong case tomorrow night. I think he'll talk about the tremendous economic growth. I hope that he talks about Governor Northam and that he makes a clarion call to African-American voters to say, look, why do you keep voting for this party look at what my party has done. Look at what my economic policies have done. We have the lowest black unemployment in the history of the United States because of President Trump's policies. I think he'll talk about the crime that is the result of illegal immigration. His new slogan is "Build the wall, crime will fall," and I think he'll talk about that. I think he'll point to victims of crimes of illegal aliens. I think he'll point to the drugs that are coming across the border, the human trafficking, the human suffering of people who come with false hopes, thinking, I just have to make it to that U.S.-Mexico border, and then everything will be great.
Right. Bart, we're hitting the brakes. So sorry. That caravan is on the way. Check out OpsLens.com for more from Bart. Thanks so much. Girl, I know that you've been the days we wanted everything. Everyone, happy Valentine's Day. It's coming up in a few days, but you have time still. But we want to get you ready. We have our friend of the show, Chocolatier to the Stars, Marianne Hess, coming to us from Niagara Falls area. Niagara's Honeymoon Sweets Gourmet Chocolate. And boy, I wish it were Taste of Vision and you could have some of this spread that she sent us. Marianne, welcome back to America Trends.
How are you?
Great. It's good to see you. I'm always just amazed by your concoctions. Tell us a little bit about what we're seeing that you sent, besides the picture you sent us a few months back.
You didn't eat it?
There's a shot of it. It's not that, yeah. Okay, so that's what it looked like when you first, well, I guess it was a couple weeks. It's really hard for us, but we're considering eating it because it's sort of falling apart because sometimes it gets shuffled here in the studio, but it's right here. It's still standing. But you do these. The whole thing's edible. The picture, the frame, and you can do it for anything. And I just love that.
I'm so glad. Well, what I sent you now was a little bit different assortment. I think I sent you chocolate covered potato chips. I sent you some bonbons. I think I can, if you could show me the picture again and I could see what you got there. Okay, you got chocolate drizzled popcorn, you got a cherub, you got peanut brittle, you got caramels, you got solid chocolate pieces, you got some Oreo. So you got a little bit of
an Oreo brownie. There. I'm sorry to interrupt. We just all had a taste here of the Oreo brownie. That's
an Oreo bark.
Top right, to the right of your screen. So that's Oreo bark because it just tasted like deliciousness.
Well, I'm so glad you like it. I even sent you some champagne truffles. So there you go.
Those are champagne truffles?
Yes, those are the white round ones. And you've got dark chocolate covered cherries.
Oh, wow. So really just I would just suggest everyone just get a box of what Mary, can they do a America Trends box order? And that's what
sure.
they can send, just what you sent us today.
Sure.
It's great.
I could put something together for you like that. Sure, anything you want. No worries.
You know what I love? And we've also got some dynamite pictures of when you've worked at the White House, provided stuff for them, the Hollywood gifting suites. And there's a picture of a white frame. It's 3D. It's white chocolate edible with pearls all around it. And it's a face. And it looks like art. And you will see it. And you just cannot believe it's chocolate. How do you do all these and just up your game all the time?
It's called crazy.
Oh, all right.
I obsess with it because if you're going to do something, I try my hardest to do it right and to be a little bit different.
Yeah. But look at that. That is 3D. She's wearing a mask. I don't know who she is, but...
A white party.
Oh, that's perfect. I don't know how you'd ever eat it. I would just sit it in a corner and not let anyone touch it.
Well, they did that for quite a while, and I said, smash it. Come on, smash it and eat it. You have to eat it. It's all edible, the mask and all. But they did like you. They hung on to it.
Well, when I met you at one of the Oscar suites a few years back, what you do is you provide, first of all, you make chocolate statuettes, which is pretty cool, but you do pictures for the nominees and for their pictures. And we've got a lot of shots of you from there as well, where you're meeting with the stars, and you've got a table full. It just looks like a table full of full of picture frames, but they're all chocolate.
Yes. Yes. It's so much fun to do because you can take anything and put it into the picture to put it into chocolate. So, you know, whether you want a frame that's just a 2-inch round or you want something that's 25 pounds, I can do, you know, many different sizes. which I really enjoy doing, because then I can suit the picture to what the frame is or what the person's pocketbook is. So you can do it on a chocolate bar. You can do it if you want a business card, any kind of anything you want. I can pretty much put that into chocolate, which is kind of fun. It's a little different. Instead of getting molds made, you got a live shot picture that's actually edible.
And I know you've done some White House stuff, too, and you made some custom for the Trump administration, right?
I did I did the presidential inauguration for the Democrat and the Republican. I did Obama's and Trump's. Those were what I called chump change.
Look at all those winning chocolates, Marianne. Sorry to interrupt.
Those are 2-inch rounds of chocolate that we had the edible photos on. And when I try to change it up each time I do something. I've already been asked to do the third inauguration. Oh, there's me at the White House doing the Easter egg roll, which was a lot of fun. My husband and I represented New York State, and we greeted everybody. So that was a lot of fun to do.
Every time I talk to you, I always think Marianne's living her best life, that's for sure.
It's nice to be able to do a little bit of crazy stuff. We just delivered chocolates to New York City for the Miss New York pageant and the Miss New York teen pageant in January.
Please tell me they were little cute crowns.
I made them little pictures and put their logo in it. So that was kind of fun. We had 280 or 90 of them we did. So that's a fun thing to do.
Oh, I'm going to have to look for you on your social media. Tell us where people can find you, your website and social media again.
Oh, you can go to Niagara's with an S, Honeymoon Sweets, SWEETS.com. And if you got a suggestion of what you want, we're more than happy to make it for you. Or you can give us a call at 1-716-304-6803. I'm also doing bottles of liquor, whether it's wine, champagne. You tell me what you want, and we dip them in chocolate and put nuts on it. And the idea of it is there's a ribbon underneath on the bottle, and when you pull the ribbon down, the chocolate breaks off. So you have your wine and chocolate or wine and champagne. So that's something very unique that you can do for giving a special gift, whether it's a wedding or an anniversary or you just want to give somebody something. I do a lot of corporate gifts. Conventions, if people are doing conventions and they want handouts, I do their companies in the 2-inch rounds or the business cards or 2-inch square. It pretty much you decide what you want and I make it for you.
I was going to mention that because what happens is the person will get a bottle that just looks like a bottle made of chocolate, but you crack it open and there's lovely champagne or wine or whatever in there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very nice. In fact, I think I sent you a picture of that. I don't know if you received it or not, but you can maybe put it on your website. But
yeah,
it's really kind of interesting to do because it makes such a unique gift. I like doing the unique, the little bit better quality because everybody does the same stuff, and I like to be a little different.
Well, I know yours are all – I love this. Look at that. That's your wall of fame, and we get
those
to be on it.
Those are business cards.
Oh, yeah. That's our America Trends crew. It was neat for us to see that they were in your wall of fame or whatever. And you've got a lot of history, but I want to just – we've got just like 20 seconds, Marianne. I'm so sorry. But, like, why are we so attached to chocolate at Valentine's Day? Is it just because of the goodness of it all?
Well, you know, it's funny because Cadbury, Mr. Cadbury, that started Cadbury Chocolate, is the one who created Valentine's Day, and he decided to make something for his wife. He actually made a heart-shaped box to give her, and apparently it took off. So that's how people started doing Valentine's, which I think is a great idea because now you can get in every type of shape and size box that you want.
You got to give it to American Ingenuity. Heartbreak. Marianne Hess, thank you so very much. Welcome back to America Trends. Thank you again to Marianne Hess from Niagara Honeymoon Sweets Gourmet Chocolate. Take a look at the spread. Oh, there's a website. Go there. It's Niagara Honeymoon Sweets, spelled sweets like chocolate, not sweets like brooms, but people do go there for the honeymoon. You get it. NiagaraHoneymoonSweets.com. And this is some of the stash you can get. You can get, send her a picture and she'll make a picture frame, edible picture, all that good stuff. And there's just a whole lot of goodness there. She's got some real, I've never seen anything like what I've seen on her website and in person when I've gotten to be there live with her. So thanks to her, and also thanks to Bart Marcois for talking to us, and Joseph Travers of Saved in America, savedinamerica.org, out saving missing children. I want to remind you can find us 24/7. America Trends. You can find us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. And so go there. And if you would click through, please, and find us on social media and be our friend. And we'd love to see you there. Hey, finally tonight, you've had this trending on YouTube, this this Conan O'Brien brewery visit he did to Sam Adams Brewery. And we showed you some of it last week. And we want to show you a little more. It was so funny. Conan takes in the wonders of the brewery. Listen in as we say goodbye for now.
I'm interested in learning what beer's made of.
Hops act as a preservative. Hops are the closest botanical relative to marijuana. But if you smoke them, you just get a headache. So I've been told, right, Jim?
Yeah.
But this is what we're using.
You want to open them up to get the glands. You really want the glands. That's it. And now snip it.
You look like a pervert. I'm just going to say it right now. Just like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I'm going to be honest with you now and tell you I stole these hops. And I'm going to put them back right now, and that means you're going to be impressed with my honesty, and you're going to give me the brewery.
Well, maybe we'll give you some beer, but I'm keeping
the not the whole thing?
No.
Okay. Man, Willy Wonka gave the whole thing away.
He was an idiot.
Hey, Tommy's Aaron.
So the Nano Brewery was where we make all of our new beers, new styles that come out of Boston Beer.
Cool. I'm sorry, I'm transfixed by your beard. What is with the beards? What is with the beards here, Jim?
Everyone's I got no control over facial hair.
Look at that. Check it out. Look at this. Look at this. I'm done. This is insane. This is an adult version of Santa's workshop. It is the famous-looking beard. It just looks like the police are coming. They have a picture of you, and you quickly clip this thing on. Do you mind if I rub it? This is incredible. And look at yours. Can you touch his to his? This is a weird horn that hasn't been invented yet. How many types of beer do we have here?
28.
It is my duty as your representative to try every one of these beers.
Brut lager.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
So this is brut lager with noble hops.
Ah, the noble hop. The noble hop. You're very attractive. I don't know why I said that. Okay, so what is that, two? What do we have?
26.
26 to go? All right, that's going to take too long. You do not mind. Gentlemen, I have a solution. I'm going to make a little blend here. And then we're going to mix them all together. That, gentlemen, is a beer. What are the chances are this is pretty good?
Only one way to find out.
Yeah. Get it on your beer, you're not a real man. What do you think?
It's a mess.
It's a mess? What are you talking about? The common man wants 26 beers mixed together. You guys are overthinking it. This is amazing. This is what Samuel Adams was all about. This is my Declaration of Independence.
What do you get when you combine dozens of beers with one drunk?